Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me for the first time Brandon McDonald. He's the CEO and he's a director of a sponsor company to this show, namely Fireweed Zinc. Brandon is a professional geologist. He's over 20 years of experience in the mining industry and diverse base, including exploration geology worldwide, investment banking too. That's always good in the city of London, where he worked in structuring project financings and investments at Macquarie Bank after graduating with an MBA from Oxford University in 2007. Brandon has a long history of mining exploration work in the Yukon, including zinc projects, and he originally hails from the town of Ross River. That's very near the Tom Jason project that is the subject and the flagship project, really, of, as I understand it, of Firewood Zinc. Welcome, Brandon. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jay.
Really good to have you. Before we get started, I should mention that your stock trades in Toronto under the symbol FWZ. 17.5 million shares outstanding, around 85 cents earlier today when I checked it in Canada. Gives it a market cap of only around 15 million in Canadian dollars, 11 million U.S. dollars, despite a pretty substantial resource already established there. I should also mention to my listeners, it's fireweedzinc.com, fireweedzinc.com. New website put up there, and it's quite informative and very attractive. Brandon, your flagship project is the what is known as, I guess, named the McMillan Pass Zinc Lead Silver Project in the Yukon. Aside from a pretty high-grade historical zinc lead silver resource from that project, from two deposits, what attracted you to this project?
I would say initially, you know, it was a few years ago that our team, well, it was more than a few years ago, that we saw the crunch in zinc coming. You know, the writing was on the wall in terms of the shutting of the Century Mine in Australia, Lachine in Ireland, and constraints on supply in China while there's sort of global rising demand. And we really wanted to get a zinc asset. When I was originally approached about this one, I immediately was really excited because, first off, it's right near my hometown. Uh-huh. But also because, you know, the Tom and Jason deposits are a bit storied, and, you know, the Tom deposit, is the deposit for which the term SEDEX or sedimentary exhalative was actually coined. It was coined in a master's thesis about 40 years ago. And when you're studying this style of deposit, it's actually the rocks you look at in the UBC, you know, labs, you know, the university I did my undergrad at. So it was already something I was familiar with, and I was excited about it. And then you add in, you know, the Yukon, which is such an excellent jurisdiction for mining, and you have excellent support there from the federal government down to the territorial government, and even right down to the local community government with our partners in the Ross River Dena Council there. It was just, groups that we wanted to work with, we knew we could work with, and that are commercial and want the mining. You know, you're not bashing your head up against a bad jurisdiction there.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And also another big deal is, I guess, to a great extent, you have more infrastructure probably in the Yukon than you had decades ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen with the sort of infrastructure funds coming from the feds and contributed by the territorial government that they have a willingness to develop infrastructure for mineral projects that are going to contribute to the economics of the territory. So, you know, we have a government road to our project, which is on their radar to upgrade further because, you know, they know that this can contribute meaningfully to the territory and to the local communities.
Well, tell us a little bit about your project. I mean, you have a meaningful resource there already. It's an option from HUD Bay.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about what you have there and what you hope to accomplish this summer with your work project.
Sure. You know, the resource, as you said, already pretty substantial at about 6.5 million tons indicated and 24.5 or so inferred at grades, you know, ranging between, I think, about 10.5 zinc equivalent on the inferred and 11.5 zinc equivalent on the indicated. You know, this is a very sizable and rich deposit for zinc. And in fact, in terms of zinc contained, it's already in the top 10 undeveloped resources in the Americas. So we were already buying a project that is substantial. But what really, you know, attracted us was that it's really still underexplored. the previous groups here, you know, the last exploration there was done in 91, 92. And there really hasn't been a modern look at it. And really, you know, they really haven't built out, you know, how to explore for these style of deposits within the project ground that they weren't, you know, showing on surface. So we see this incredible potential to take what is already a world-class resource and expand it. And, you know, this summer we're going to, we'll start with some drilling that'll firm it up for an updated resource this year, and then build on that towards a PEA, you know, preliminary economic assessment, which would be out early to mid next year.
So a PEA late this year, early next year. How do you see your company? I was looking over the skill sets of your management team. You certainly have some. You have an engineer in there. I think you've got some people besides exploration geologists. That's your trade. What do you see the company's mandate as being an exploration company, one that builds and finds something significant that a major would take over, or how far are you prepared to take this yourselves?
Look, we'll advance it as far as we have to. I think that with the resource there and the potential to expand it, I think that we'll pretty quickly get a bullseye on us. But I think with these things, it's always best practice to assume you're going to build it. Not only does that provide an alternative for any bids, it also means you take ownership of things and you're handing over a project in the best condition you can to a potential acquirer. You know, if you're heads down on exploration, you're not managing the community or you're not managing the environment or permitting. A potential acquirer knows that they're buying a resource that they may struggle to turn into a mine, and that's not what they want. So what we want to have is a resource that we've demonstrated, you know, step by step that we're progressing it towards a mine. So I think operating under the assumption you're going to build it is the best way to get taken out.
How late can you work on this project? Can you go, I don't know, it's pretty far north there. Do you have to shut down in October, November? When do you have to call it quits for the exploration?
You could operate year-round. We have an airstrip on site that you can get to, you know, on a fixed wing with skis over winter. But realistically, the major river we have to cross to get there, which is right at the community of Ross River, which is actually the Pelly River, interestingly, is you have to cross by barge, and that barge shuts down in mid-October. So if you don't demob the camp in mid-October, you're having to wait until the river's frozen. So presumably we have the opportunity to operate at least until mid-October without having to run into to issues with winter. But you know, I would note that it's very cold up there, but you're not dealing with an immense amount of snowfall. It is semi-arid. So you're looking at about a meter and change of snowfall a year, which is which is not an incredible challenge to deal with. You're not getting equipment buried on a daily basis.
All right. So you're optioning this from HUD Bay. Why HUD Bay? I mean, it looks like a great project. Why would HUD Bay not move this forward themselves? They've got too many other projects in the works, how do you explain this?
Well, you know, so the two deposits were owned separately until 2007 when HUD Bay acquired the Jason half. They had pretty big plans for it, and they put a big camp in 2011, which is actually the camp we'll be using. And they did a drill program, they did some metallurgy, and they had big plans for the future when the bottom sort of fell out of the mining market in 2012. I don't want to put words in their mouth, because obviously I'm not privy to internal strategic discussions in HUD Bay, but I think they've really shifted their focus to copper. And so a zinc project that wouldn't ultimately feed their own zinc smelter, because there's zinc smelters in Manitoba, concentrate from here will likely go to Asia. You know, I think it just became orphaned, you know, when the downturn came and the focus shifted to copper. We were lucky to engage them quite early, and it took a lot of time to get them over the line. They really wanted to make sure they were handing the project to good stewards of it.
Sure.
Both who took care of the environment and community, but also who advanced it so that their value in the project, or in this case in our company, is maximized. And that's the real heart of the deal with us, is that they'll own 15% of us fully diluted when we earn in.
Okay, so they have a vested interest in seeing you succeed, that's for sure. Technical details, this is, I guess this is really a steeply dipping structure, isn't it? It'd be an underground mine, obviously, I suppose, unless maybe the top part.
Yeah, we assumed at this point that it's going to be entirely underground. And for underground, the steeply diffling, the sort of vertical to subvertical structures actually are good, because then you're able to mine out from underneath them, and gravity works to your advantage, you know, whether it's stoping or something to that effect. So the geometry works well for us. You know, what we've seen in terms of ground conditions suggests that it's pretty good, and that we should have good ground conditions for mining, and that's something that we need to firm up as we go.
Mm-hmm. Metallurgy, anything that might stand in the way of a success here that you can think of? Any fatal flaws?
No. Hudbay did metallurgy on it in 2012, so that's kind of the prelim metallurgy that we have, and it's been very positive. Good recoveries of zinc and lead and silver, with the silver reporting to the lead con, which is what you want. It's much more payable in lead concentrate than it is in zinc concentrate. Low-mid work index in terms of grindability. And then most importantly, in terms of deleterious elements, the things that might, restrict what smelter you can sell the concentrate
sure.
to or incur penalties, very low. The only thing we're seeing above threshold for penalties is mercury, and very modestly above threshold. Everything else in the prelim metallurgy is pretty much below threshold for penalty. And we also see quite low iron and silica, which may actually make it attractive to smelters. We think that based on the prelim metallurgy we've done, pretty much every smelter in the world should be able to buy our concentrate, and to a lot of them it might actually be quite attractive.
All right, Brandon, just with a couple of minutes left here yet, I want to ask you, before we went on the show, you were mentioning that your shares are considerably undervalued vis-a-vis your peers, and whilst every project is different, one needs to be aware of those details. You're a brand new story. That's the first thing that comes to mind, why this may be true. But what are your thoughts as to why you are so undervalued relative to your peers?
Well, I think, I mentioned that we were talking to Hudbay for 2 years before we got this over the line, and we originally lined up our initial investors quite early as well. In the intervening time, the mining market took off again, and the zinc market in particular. But because Hudbay was very honorable about maintaining terms with us, we declined to reprice our IPO, even though it really had been repriced at a fundamentally different era. Mm-hmm. So in that era, our peer group went up 4 or 5-fold easily.
Yeah.
So we just don't believe it's a good practice to move the goalposts on your backers. So
sure.
Even though we IPO'd this year, it was really an IPO that was priced in early 2016, maybe even late 2015, which is, a very different time for pricing. So out of the gate, we almost doubled pretty much straight out of the gate. But I don't blame my shareholders. A lot of them want to sell at these levels because they're sitting on a quick double, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
The key thing is whether or not they're sitting on a quick double for new investors is whether or not there's another double there or more.
Right. Right.
And I think if you take a look at our peer group and take a look at a variety of valuation metrics, obviously with caveats, as you say, because every project is different in terms of viability and maturity, but we think we have a very good project. We know it's very big compared to our peers. It has a very good grade compared to our peers. So we think there's a lot of uplift left there.
Yeah, and a lot bigger potentially, as we don't have time to talk about, but there's lots of exploration potential from what I can see there.
Yeah.
You have enough money in the till to take you through this year. You won't have to raise any more until next year, or how does that go?
Well, we have enough money to do this summer's program, complete our resource update, PEA, and make the final balloon payment to Hudbay, which is mm-hmm. $750,000.
Well, that's good. So with some good success this year, the market should come alive. If our previous guest is right in believing that we're in a new bull market for commodities, it should be very good for you. I really look forward to keeping up with this story. Anything else you want to leave with our listeners before we conclude our discussion today?
No, I would encourage them to check out our website and read more about the program, and email us or phone us if you have any questions. I'm always happy to take that call.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Brandon, for being with us.
Thanks,
Jay. Great story.